It's time for HBCU Play.
Welcome to HBCU Play, everybody. LaRisha Harris here, alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And you already know what our show is all about. We are here to provide you information on historically black colleges and universities, their athletics, what they're doing each and every week. And now the season is officially rolling. So let's get this show moving. Every week we begin with...
Here's this week's starting lineup on HBCU Play.
The starting lineup.
What a lineup we have this week, LaRisha. My goodness, we talk about great games to review from last week. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get people all set for the first full week of HBCU college football. And then some great guests going to join us, going to go deeper and look at things with North Carolina A&T. Their coach Sam Washington is going to join us. And also Eugene Marshall, the athletic director at Hampton University. They're making that transition from the MEAC to the Big South. So that's all coming up in the show.
That's right. And we also want to make sure that we highlight a few of those independent institutions as well. So we'll have a few of those impact games for you coming up later in the kickoff. But last week, we left you with a question that we wanted you guys to answer via social media. The MEAC will be down to 9 football playing members after the 2018 season. Should the conference invite a non-HBCU program to join? Well, some of you hit me back on social media via Instagram and Twitter. So a few of the responses I received were really, really funny, but basically all of them said no. They said no. One response that I thought was hilarious, though, one of my good friends actually put, "God said what is for us will be for us." No, the answer is no.
And I expect a lot of people to respond that way, especially the pride and the unity that HBCUs have had down through the years. Obviously, we're going to talk with someone later whose school has made that change in Hampton. Tennessee State many years ago did it as well. And in recent years, the CIAA has welcomed in Shawan, and Spring Hill is now a member of the SIAC. I say you, the MEAC would want someone geographically that's a good fit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's another program ready to step up from the CIAA. Obviously, they could try to see if someone would come from there. But there may be some other teams or other programs geographically that may be a good fit. It may enhance things in the MEAC. They really want to make a team that's going to come in and strengthen the conference. I think that's the most important thing if they decide to add another member.
I'm a little open-minded. So if there is an institution that is not an HBCU that is set to join or could possibly join and they will strengthen the MEAC, I'm for it. I'm okay with it.
Okay. All right, we'll watch and see.
We will. We'll
see what happens. But we have some that are aligned in the conference, and one in the MEAC really started the season off in a great way in a game that everyone was watching. Talking about North Carolina A&T and Jacksonville State, LaRisha.
It was a great game, Mr. Crenshaw. It was a little slow at first in the first half, but once halftime was over and that third quarter got underway, I mean, that scoreboard just took off. Offensively, things started flowing. We did see the Aggies come out successful in this game. They defeated Jacksonville State 20-17, a huge win over the Gamecocks.
Big win for North Carolina A&T, big win for HBCU football. A lot of people were watching this game to see how they would perform against Jacksonville State, a traditional national powerhouse in the FCS level. And for North Carolina A&T to go to Alabama, their home state, and get the win. Very impressive win, and really sends a message loud and clear about where the A&T program is and the possibilities for HBCUs in football.
I want you to listen to the reaction of these fellas after they won this game. I found some sound on their actual Twitter handle. I mean, they were so hyped. This is how they sound. This is what happened.
Yeah, we do this.
Hey, I got respect. Ain't no more disrespect. We went 12-0, got ranked 14. How that happened? 12-0 wins.
I mean, you can tell these fellas are like so excited, so hyped about their victory. You can't do anything but love them in their and love their energy and the emotion that they give off.
And the big win, they obviously knew on ESPN. They had a great platform, and everybody got to see them across the country. For people who maybe hadn't caught North Carolina A&T in the Celebration Bowl wins, they got a good dose of them last Saturday.
Now, another game that happened was Prairie View A&M going up against Rice. Prairie View, unfortunately, unable to take this game. They lost on the final play of the game, falling 31-28 at Rice Stadium.
Tell you what, though, the Panthers came out and looked great. Well, remember, they got a new head coach in Eric Dooley. They go out and they fall down 13-0 to start this game, and then they rally and come back into it and had a lead in this game over Rice. We're talking a team that plays in the Division I FBS level. And to go there and have it was very impressive showing by this Prairie View football team. Jalen Morton had a big game as quarterback, 16 of 28 passes, 244 yards and 3 touchdowns. A big game for him, but still Rice was able to escape with a victory. So what's next for the Prairie View A&M Panthers? A trip to Atlanta to take on North Carolina Central in the MEAC Swag Challenge.
And head coach Eric Dooley says that he's excited about this opportunity, but it's not too much of an incentive to keep his guys working because if they start here, of course, they are going to want to finish their season here, referring to the Celebration Bowl.
Probably won't need anything extra to make us work hard because we're going to work hard, but it gives us a great incentive because you want to start somewhere and then you want to finish there. So I think it sends a message to the team, and I think it's a great opportunity for us.
Again, that was head coach of Prairie View A&M, Eric Dooley.
They get set for the game. That game is coming up this Sunday. That will be on ESPN as well this Sunday, taking on North Carolina Central.
Every show, we always tip the cap to a couple of athletes doing some big things. So today we're going to tip the cap to an athlete over at St. Augustine's, Shakira Hall. She has been named CIAA Female Scholar Athlete of the Year. She participates in volleyball, indoor and outdoor track and field. She is a senior business administration major from Barbados. She posted a 3.9 GPA this year. And she's also the CIAA Volleyball Offensive Player of the Year. She ranked first in the CIAA and fourth in Division II in kills per set, first in the CIAA and seventh nationally in points per game, and third in the conference in total kills. So congratulations, Shakira Hall. Continue to do big things.
Indeed. Wow. Salute her for great work she's done there at St. Aug. All right, we're just getting started with this week's show. So glad you're with us. Straight ahead, we're going to go straight from the source with North Carolina A&T State University head football coach Sam Washington. I'm Sam with Larisha, and you're listening to HBCU Play.
Time out. There's more coming your way on HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's Larisha Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw along with Larisha Harris. And this week, we're going to go straight from the source. The coach had a big, big win last week. Welcome in head coach Sam Washington from North Carolina A&T State University. 20-17, the final score. They are winners last weekend in Montgomery, Alabama over Jacksonville State. Coach Washington, first of all, congratulations and welcome to HBCU Play.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly and thanks for having me on.
So, Coach, the first win of the season underneath your belt, how are you feeling right now?
I heard a cloud 9. Is there a cloud 10? Yes, I'm very excited about it. The kids, you know, they played hard, and that's what really matters to me most. And they had that don't quit attitude and the will to win.
Coach, talk about this game and the scheme of things. And I know the minute I saw this game on the schedule, it jumped off the page to me. I don't know how the people were in Greensboro about it when they saw this game and saw the importance of this game because it's a national ranked team, perennial powerhouse, perennial national championship contender that you were going to get a chance to go up against. How was this game received when it was announced there in Greensboro?
Well, I think initially people were shocked, you know, that we would go out, you know, me being untested and, you know, playing a game of this magnitude straight out the gate. But Mr. Hilton, our athletic director, had a lot of confidence in me. And he said that we could take them, and he convinced me. So we went out and did what we went out and played the game.
Talk about the first half of the game. You guys were up. You had the lead initially. And, you know, offensively, things just kind of seemed stagnant a little bit. What changed for you guys going into, well, I guess I should say, what was your message to your team going into halftime to come out in the third quarter and just offensively everything just kind of took off and went on a roll?
Well, you know, going at halftime, I told them this. You know, if something good happened, to keep playing. If something bad happened, keep playing. We thought it would be a roller coaster. I thought they did a very good job with adjustments in the second half. They made a few adjustments and were able to move the football. And then we made some mistakes as well. And the mistakes were fundamental. And we don't like making fundamental mistakes and technique mistakes, which happen. So those can be corrected and will be corrected. But they did change the momentum of the game several times.
Coach, we talk about the fact that you have a veteran quarterback and so many veterans on your offensive side, yet the defense was called on time and time and time there in the fourth quarter to hang on. Talk about your defensive effort coming down the stretch.
Well, you know, we pride ourselves with defense. Our defense have been stellar, I would say, for a number of years. We just thought we'd do what we do and do it well. The effort that those kids displayed was I'm very proud of. They just had that will, you know, not to give up. And the takeaways, I thought, was the turning point of the game. That was the difference maker. You know, we were able to get four takeaways. And generally speaking, the team that protect the football is the team that wins.
Coach, while I'm watching the game, I'm following along on social media. And so many people were weighing in on what this game meant for HBCUs and for HBCU football. And I saw a number of schools from around the metro Atlanta area, from the burbs, if you will, who were still quoting, saying that, you know, hey, for those of you who think that an offer from an HBCU is inferior, think again and watch North Carolina A&T. You think about the most biggest thing was that recruits were able to watch this game last week and really get a chance to sample North Carolina A&T once again?
I hope so. I really do. And we would like the world, not just them, we'd like everyone to know that we play a good brand of football as well. You know, it's all about run, block, and tackle. And schematically, I think we match up well with any coaching staff in America. So I hope the recruits, especially the ones that we would like to have, witness that ball game.
Coach Washington, great to have you. First of all, once again, we're spending time with Coach Sam Washington, head coach of North Carolina A&T State University here on HBCU Play, Sam Crenshaw and Larisha Harris. Coach, talk a little bit about the impact you've seen from what you and the team have been able to do. As far as the university, North Carolina A&T seems to be in the spotlight in a major way, and athletics is something that the school is obviously using to get people to look at the school as a whole.
Yes, and, you know, I'm going to tip my hat to Mr. Hilton for that as well, the athletic director. He's the one with the vision, and it's a culture that we've developed around here, and you know, just doing everything right, little things. I don't care how big or how small, doing the little things on a consistent basis, and it has worked for us.
Malik Wilson and that 98-yard kickoff return, were you excited about that when you saw it? Were you, like, jumping up and down on the sideline as it was happening?
You know what? Actually, I think I beat him to the end zone. I was running so fast. Yeah, but it was special, and the timing I thought was impeccable, being that they had received big mold. They had gotten the momentum and got their fans involved, you know, scoring that touchdown, and he seemed to have taken all the wind out of their sails when he returned that kick.
Washington, thoughts about what's coming up this week? You have a game with East Carolina, but then you've taken on the mid-majors in your state, last year Charlotte and before Appalachian State, and were very successful. Thoughts about how you and your team are approaching this week's challenge?
It's another big ball game, and you know, each week they seem to get bigger. So we're going to do what we do and hopefully do it well. I think we have a chance in this ball game. It's not like you know, they're NFL team, so they have college students just like we have. They put 11 on the field. They may be a little bigger, but I think we possibly a faster.
Now, Coach, if there was one thing that you wanted people to know about when it comes down to Aggie football, what would it be?
We never quit. We're going to play, we're going to finish. That's what we preach around here. We're going to play with great effort, and we're going to finish.
Hey, Coach Sam Washington of the Aggies, North Carolina A&T. Good luck this weekend, and thank you for joining us on Straight from the Source.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
And remember, this week, North Carolina A&T takes on East Carolina. That game is going to be played in Greenville, North Carolina, a 6 o'clock Eastern time start, and it can be seen on ESPN3. Last season, the ECU Pirates with a record of 3-9. But they will welcome the Aggies now, who undefeated last season, started the season with a big win over Jacksonville State. We wish them the best of luck in that game. All right, coming up next, we're going to be joined by Hampton University Athletic Director Eugene Marshall and take a look at some of the other independents in the world of HBCU athletics as we dive into the playbook. You're listening to HBCU Play.
Time out. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In the playbook.
It's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. We're now diving into the playbook where typically we would break down the X's and O's of certain games that happened or that took place. We would revisit them, give our opinions on what happened, what went right, what went wrong. But for today's show, we are going to take this time to talk to the athletic director of Hampton University, the Hampton Pirates. Eugene Marshall, again, is the director of athletics, now in his fifth year. We're going to talk to him all about the move, the transition that Hampton University has made out of the MEAC into the Big South. On the phone with us right now, Mr. Marshall, you there? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Can't complain.
Doing wonderful here, and I'm so glad you had a chance to spend some time with us here at the start of a new school year and a new experience for Hampton University, now in the Big South Conference. Talk about how this all came to be.
Well, you know, we have a visionary president, Dr. William R. Harvey, who 41 years of extraordinary leadership has set up guidelines for the standard of excellence. And he's always looking for new ways to improve every area of this athletic program, dating back to our founder, Brigadier General Retired Samuel Chapman Armstrong, that wanted everything at his institution to excel. And our 12th president, Dr. Harvey, feels the same way. And excelling means moving the needle and taking on new and exciting challenges. And one of them is moving to the Big South.
Now, for those who are very traditional, know that, you know, this school has been a part of the MEAC for so long, and they might not be very receptive of this move right now. How do you address them? What do you say to them to convince them that this was a good move for the institution?
Well, when you look at an individual who has a job and has a career and they advance all the time, you've come from an institution like Hampton University or other HBCUs that you want. They wanted you to advance and graduate and go on and do good things. So what's to say that an institution that you've gone to can't grow and advance and do good things? We went from founding the CIAA 22 years ago. We left the CIAA to go to the MEAC to advance and improve. So there's nothing wrong with doing that now. We're just trying to continue to improve the brand of Hampton University and Pirate Athletics.
So would you say that this move is a risk?
No, I don't see it as a risk. I see it as just a progression of building an athletic program that you want to be diverse and inclusive, which is what Hampton University is founded on. In 1868, Hampton University was founded by, as I said, a white brigadier retired general in the United States Army, to educate newly freed slaves, women, and Native Americans. And so 151 years later, we're doing the same thing.
Talk about the positives and the things it allows you to do. New rivalries, new areas, and I know where we are here in Atlanta is one of your targets.
Yes, it is. It allows us to play in Atlanta, Kennesaw State. It allows us in future years to go to Alabama. It allows us to be in the Charlotte area. It allows us to be in the Virginia area. But what it does is it allowed us to get a full head-to-toe deal from Under Armour, which we weren't able to do in the MEAC. And so Under Armour is one of the premier apparel vendors in the country. And for us to be with the likes of Notre Dame, with the likes of Navy, with the likes of Texas Tech, with the likes of Cincinnati, Auburn, and the University of Wisconsin, that puts us in rarefied air. And it also allows us to go out and market and promote University of Maryland. So that allowed that. Also, we are probably one of the most publicized college athletic programs in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We've been in the media from November 17th when we announced it till now. Constantly good stuff. We get a chance to promote our student athletes who do great things. There are 350 student athletes, 150 in my dean's list. Our graduation rate has gone from 56% back in 2011 to 79% 2018. These are the things we can talk about, and we can compete academically and athletically.
Well, thoughts about some work that you had to do, because we see a football schedule, and we know you really had to do some work. And I want to congratulate you on that.
Well,
you were able
you.
To put together a full schedule because it was much in the news about how the MEAC schools kind of abandoned you, for lack of another word. But you were able to put together a schedule with probably some great new rivalries.
Well, you know, part of it is, I guess you could say I'm older. I've been doing this now 34 years in college athletics and 31 years as an administrator. I have a lot of friends around the country and colleagues, and they came through for us. Coach Prenny, who's our new football coach, Robert Prenny, who came from East Carolina, he had contacts. So we sat down as a team, and also Dave Brown, who works for Gridiron. We sat down as a team and put together a schedule that would help us develop the football team, because we have a new football coach, that would allow us a grace period within being a non-conference team this year as we then roll into 2019 being a full conference member. And so we got some tough teams, and we have some teams that may not be as tough. But, you know, we start off with Shaw, then we go up to Monmouth, which is going to be a Big South Conference member, so that gives us a New Jersey footprint that we didn't have before because we have a lot of alums up there. Then we come back and we play Tennessee State, which is the forerunner, or you can say the Jackie Robinson of this whole program, because they went 30-something years ago to a majority conference. So we have that game at home. Then we go out to Northern Iowa, which is a relationship game. They're a top seven team in the country. And then we'll come back home to another conference game and as a Charleston Southern. And then we'll play some traditionally HBCUs because we want to have some on there. We'll play Lane. Then we go to South Carolina Presbyterian, another Big South member. We also brought in Virginia University, another HBCU for homecoming. And then we'll go up to New York to play SUNY Maritime so that we could see our alums up in New York. It's another great alumni move. And then we'll play Mississippi Valley, another HBCU, rich tradition and a good history. And then we'll finish up with St. Andrews at home. So I think it's pretty competitive, but it also allows us to go out and meet our alums. And then, you know, next year we'll have the Kennesaws we can go from now from New Jersey to Atlanta to Alabama. That's a nice footprint for your conference.
If you're just joining us, we are joined on the phone by the athletic director of Hampton, Eugene Marshall. So I want to ask you, now that
yes.
you guys are a part of the Big South, who do you think your new rival will be? I mean, you know, there's always that specific rival within a conference between two certain teams. Who do you think the rival will be for you guys now?
That's too early to tell, but I do think High Point, because their academic profile and what they've done with their campus as opposed to what we've done with our campus and students, I think that's going to be a a little rivalry. Radford will be good for us. But I still believe we will still be playing the Battle of the Real HU and the Battle of the Bay at some point. Basketball, we're going to play both Howard and Norfolk State on the road this year, and they'll be at home next year. And then I'm looking to play Howard in 2019 and then maybe Norfolk State 2021. So we're looking to continue those other rivals. So they're not going to go away. And I think the games will be more important because it's only one game each year.
So football rival now. Who do you think will be the football rival?
I think it'll probably be, you know, you're looking at Mammoth. You're looking at probably Kennesaw. Those two, I think, will be very good matches for us.
Spending time with Eugene Marshall, athletic director at Hampton University. What do you say to people? Because obviously athletics is a way of putting the university and the institution in the minds of people. People have seen Hampton University as being, as you said, one of the leaders as a HBCU. What do you think people who see this as a move to distance themselves from other HBCUs, and how does Hampton still have that support for the other HBCUs and that recognition? Because athletics is one of the main reasons to bring people to institutions who never go and visit a campus, who never walk through a classroom, but mm-hmm. they will come to a sporting event.
Well, first of all, athletics is the front porch of any university. So you really see the university through athletics. Secondly, Hampton University, as well as all other HBCUs, will always be HBCU. It's just like I'm always going to be African-American. I'm an African-American person that happens to be an athletic director. That goes without saying. Hampton University is always going to be HBCU. Proud of it, will always be. But there's nothing wrong with venturing into different areas. In 1995, Hampton University started the first sailing program. No HBCU has a sailing program. 90% of our student athletes come from Europe, Italy, and that's the focal point. In 2015, we started a lacrosse program. First HBCU in Division I history to have a lacrosse program. You know, you can still be diverse. You can still excel and still remain in your HBCU heritage. That's never going to change. But there's nothing wrong with exploring and looking at other opportunities. Tennessee State did it 30-something years ago. They're still an HBCU and very proud of it.
Well, Mr. Marshall, we first want to thank you for joining us here on HBCU Play in the segment that we call The Playbook. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, too, so much for having me. And I hope all the listeners out there have a great year and cheer for their teams.
Again, that was Hampton University's Athletic Director Eugene Marshall.
And I want to remind everybody, Larisha, that the Hampton Pirates opened this season this weekend against Shaw out of the CIAA, and new head coach Robert Prunty will be leading the Pirates as they open the 2018 season. All right, coming up straight ahead is time for the kickoff on HBCU Play.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's almost game time on HBCU Play. We're getting ready for the kickoff with Larisha Harris.
You are clearly so quick-witted and beautiful.
And Sam Grimshaw.
He's a righteous dude.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. Larisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And it's now time for the kickoff. We are getting you prepared for all the big games that will happen this weekend. So to get us started, Mr. Crenshaw, who do we have first?
We're going to shine some spotlights on some schools that are outside of the rest of the major HBCU conferences. We already talked about Hampton with their move to the Big South in their game this week. How about Tennessee State? They're going to open with some people you know very well, Bethune-Cookman.
That's right. John Merritt Classic. This is happening on ESPN+. Plus, last season, TSU started the season 3-0 and finished 6-5.
Yeah, Treon Harris, who started quarterback at Florida 2 years ago, started at QB at Tennessee State last year. This year, he's starting as a wide receiver. Ron Reed's in his ninth year as head coach, and they joined the OVC in 1986.
Come on, Cookman, let's take a victory with this one, okay?
Lincoln, Missouri, they're playing Lane. They're playing in Memphis. It's the Bluff City Kickoff Classic. Lincoln Institute, founded in 1866. They're 1-9 last year. Stephen Smith, Don't know if he's got an A in the middle of his name. It's the coach. And they play in the MIAA. They had one win last year, and that was over Lincoln from Pennsylvania, which is in the CIAA. Then there's Langston. They're located in Oklahoma, and they'll open their season a week from Saturday against Ottawa University of Arizona. Last year, the Lions went 10-1, losing in the first round of the NAIA playoffs. They're in the Sooner Athletic Conference, the SAC, and week two of the season will find them in Baton Rouge against Southern University.
Also in the SAC, Texas College, the Steer. They open in 2 weeks.
Yep. September 15th, they're going to take on Texas Wesleyan. Texas College, founded in 1894 in Tyler, Texas. Charles Moss, the head coach. They were 2-8 last year.
Going up to Virginia now, Lynchburg. They will open the season with Bethune-Cookman next weekend, September 8th.
Founded in 1886 at Virginia Seminary, Virginia Lynchburg, the Dragons, they have enrollment of 205 students. It's pretty small enrollment. 0-8 they were last year. National Christian College Athletic Association members they are.
And then Allen University making their football comeback in Columbia, South Carolina. Allen kicks off this week against Columbus State. Again, reviving football.
Teddy Keaton is the head coach there. They're in NAIA, and they will play in the Appalachian Athletic Conference.
Moving on down now to Jacksonville, Florida, where we will find Edward Waters underneath the leadership of Greg Ruffin, who is the head coach.
They dropped the season opener to St. Andrews last week, and they got a tough assignment this week in Lindsey Wilson, the number 5-ranked team in the NAIA. They went 1-10 last year, did Edward Waters, and they played in the Turkey Day Classic against Alabama State. This year, they will play against North Carolina Central.
We're also seeing West Virginia State versus the University of Charleston.
West Virginia State, 6-5 a year ago. They will play Kentucky State for homecoming on October 6th. A little background about West Virginia State. Founded in 1891, they are the Yellow Jackets. They play in the Mountain East Conference. Earl Lloyd, first black NBA player, is alumnus of that school on October 31st, 1950. And somebody else you may have heard of.
Katherine Johnson, whose life was depicted in the movie Hidden Figures, is a West VA State alum. And this week she celebrated her 100th birthday, and a statue was dedicated to her this week on the campus.
Yep, she was there with her family. Beautiful ceremony. And, well, we all know about her now since that movie came out.
And I love that movie. She was played by Taraji P. Henson, too, by the way.
Yep. So it was great to have that. Those are some schools that are not aligned in the major HBCU conferences. They're going to play some football this week, too.
So a few TV games we want to let you know about. One of the first ones that come to my radar, Georgia Tech versus Alcorn State. That is happening here in Atlanta. That will be on the ACC Network Extra.
Yep. Southern University is playing TCU. Tough assignment. They're playing in Fort Worth. That one's going to be on Fox Sports. And Ohio University is going to host Howard. See what Howard can do there. They're playing in Athens, Ohio. That game will be on ESPN+.
We will also see the second Labor Day Classic on the SWAC Digital Network, HBCU Game Day. That game, Alabama State going up against Tuskegee in Montgomery.
That's a big grudge match. Always Grambling opening the season at Louisiana Lafayette against the Raging Cajuns. That game will be on ESPN3. Also, Jackson State will be playing at Hattiesburg, Mississippi against Southern Miss. That game will be on ESPN+.
And then we'll see Buffalo going up against Delaware State in Buffalo, that game on ESPN3. Also, as mentioned before, North Carolina A&T in Greenville going up against East Carolina. You can catch that game on ESPN3 as well.
On ESPN+, South Carolina State travels to Statesboro to take on Georgia Southern. And we mentioned earlier that Hampton will take on Shaw. That game will be on ESPN+. Winston-Salem State, the Rams, at home against Catawba. That game is on the CIAA Sports Network. Sports Fever, that's in the Baltimore area, they'll be the place to watch the battle for Greater Baltimore. That's Towson against Morgan State.
And, of course, happening on Sunday right here in the metro area over at Georgia State University, the 14th MEAC SWAC Challenge, North Carolina Central going up against Prairie View A&M. I think it's going to be a huge turnout over there at Georgia State Stadium.
12 o'clock kickoff should be a great time. Before we go, how about tipping the cap to some folks at Tennessee State University. How about the Tennessee State men's track and field team? They're in the Ohio Valley Conference Team Sportsmanship Award for the outdoor track season. In the 13 years of the award's existence, the TSU men's track and field team have won the honor 3 times for the indoor season, 3 times for the outdoor season. TSU men's track and field last won the OVC Sportsmanship Award in the 2015-2016 indoor season. So salute them as well during the academic year. Also, the softball team won the OVC Sportsmanship Award as well. So salute to the TSU Tigers receiving that recognition from the OVC.
I think that does it for our show today, Mr. Crenshaw.
I think that's all we got.
Yeah, you miss a show, you miss a lot.
Be sure and follow me on social media at SamCrenshaw23.
And you can follow me, Lerisha underscore H. That's L-E-R-I-C-I-A underscore H. And we'll keep you up to date regarding everything related to HBCUs. Of course, don't forget to follow WAOK on Twitter and Instagram. It's simply just WAOK.
That's it for this week's show. We will see you next week, same time, same place, for HBCU Play.
Thanks for listening to HBCU Play.